It's just where it's like loads. It's like, oh, the church is now a bit empty. But it's not, though. It's not empty. So we're going to invite Paul and Sarah now to come and speak some truth from their heart and their conviction, their experiences, their passions. And it's great to welcome them here. It's my first time meeting you, so thank you so much for being here. And it's just going to be great to have our hearts open to what God is doing in the broader sense of the word from overseas and also here in this nation too. So welcome you to come up. I'd love to pray for you as well before you commence. Thank you so much for Paul and for Sarah. Thank you for these wonderful, God-fearing people, woman of God, man of God. And I pray that as they bring your truth, their perspective to us here this morning, that we would have hearts opened, our ears opened to what you are doing. Help us to embrace your call to each and every one of us. And through that lens of mission, help us to be salt and light in this world, in our local and global context. Amen.
Okay. Right, I'm mic'd up and I'm on by the sounds of things. So, first I just want to say good morning to you all. It's good to be here. We've travelled in from Aylesbury this morning, so just about a 2-hour drive. We can't remember the last time we were with Wootton, but we know that, I think we remember that you've been with us right from the very beginning, since 2012. So over like 13 years, actually the end of this month will be 13 years since you've actually been partnered with us. You and your prayers and your encouragement and your support, we can't do the work in Thailand without you. So we just want to say a big, big thank you. So thank you very, very much.
Okay, as mentioned, we're Paul and Sarah Brown, and we are BMS mission workers based in Thailand. Specifically, we are in Chiang Mai, which is the north of Thailand, and we've been there now for just over 6 years, I think. And prior to that, we were in Bangkok, which is the capital, and we were there for 7 years. So in total, we've been in Thailand now for about 13 years. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun, eh?
Yeah. It was only supposed to be there for 4. Yeah.
So if you were to travel from Bangkok to Chiang Mai, it would take about 9 hours. So it's a big country. But similar numbers to England, but it's a big country. Okay, so who are the Karen? Well, we work with the Karen, which are one of the ethnic groups that actually came from out of Burma or Myanmar. And they are quite a majority of them are actually Christians. So like well, majority, about 40% of the ones in Thailand are Christians. And about 1 million currently reside in Thailand, particularly with the unrest in Myanmar. A lot of them have tried to move into Thailand. So a lot of them are living around the borders as well. And as it mentions there, there's 40% of them are Christian. Now, if you take into account that in Thailand, the Christian division, part of the people who are Christian is only 1%. So they are, in their group, they are quite a heavily Christian minded people.
Okay, so the Karen have something called the Golden Book. Now, the Golden Book is a prophecy that's been passed down from generation to generation. And this specific Golden Book has actually got poems and legends that are very, very similar to that of the Old Testament. And this may be one of the reasons why there have been so many in the Karen community that have actually accepted Christ and come on board with Christianity. The other thing as well, they do also speculate that they may be one of the lost tribes of Israel. However, it is speculation, and that would be something that you should go off and, you know, research yourself. We've looked into it, and it does actually look quite realistic. Also, the other thing as well, if you can see from the costumes that they have on there, their traditional outfits, they actually have tassels on their traditional costumes. Some of them at the front, some of them down at the corners of the outfits, which actually may be similar to some of the Israelites, you know, where they have the tassels on the corner of their tops. So there may be some truth to that. Mm.
The Karen are also mostly are farmers. So they work, most of them stay in the mountains as well, but they are kind of self-sustaining, so they look after themselves, they grow their own food, etc., and also sometimes help out other parts of Chiang Mai. I don't know if they actually sell their farms, their food to other parts of the country as well, but they are quite self-sustaining, and also they originated from China, the north of China as well, so bear that in mind.
So this year, the TKBC, which is the Thailand Karen Baptist Convention, celebrated its 70th annual assembly. Now, again, you can see in that photograph all of the costumes, the colours, it's a variety. I mean, most of that is purple, but tends to be within their villages. They like to wear like the same sort of colours, but it's a cacophony of colours. You have men wearing pink and green, and it's just a variety. It's a real feast for the eyes. So at this particular assembly, there was over 3,000 people that attended, and I know that photograph doesn't do it justice at all. There's people on the side, and it's really good when we come together, and you get to see really how far the gospel has actually spread within the Karen, but also now that they're actually kind of taken hold of the gospel, they're now trying to spread it outwards to others as well. So actually, at this particular assembly, there were people there from the US, Canada, India and Europe. And Europe included the UK, which was us, and Ireland, as well as Sweden. So again, it wasn't just those from Thailand. It was also on a global scale as well.
And the Karen have been in Thailand. They actually started in Chiang Mai since 1881. So they've been there a while.
So just to give you an overview on our roles before we kind of go into detail. So SBI, which is the Siloam Bible Institute, mm-hmm. Paul teaches English and is also an administrator. I teach English as well, and I also do bakery for missions, and I'll explain that in a bit more detail in some of the other slides. And our program area is evangelism and discipleship. And together we holistically support, empower, enable, teach and disciple students at the Siloam Bible Institute Seminary, and also support TKBC members and staff as well.
So as Sarah said, our roles are teaching, mostly is teaching English to the those students that have decided to do their BA theology in English. Some of them, their language isn't quite up to speed. So we teach what they call the pre-class. So we try and get their English up to a decent level so they can actually do the course properly in for the number of years they're going to be there. These students, we try to teach them not just grammar, but also include the Bible and Bible stories, and try to get them thinking critically as well. So again, around the Bible, we will try and get them thinking about, you know, what it means, etc. So it's been really good actually getting to know those guys.
There's just one thing I actually want to add to that. So they have the option to actually do the BA theology in Karen if they want to, but they've actually opted to do it in English. By the time they actually come to study, a lot of them, this is actually either their third or fourth language. So in Thailand, there's a multitude of languages. So we speak Central Thai. Their mother tongue is Karen, which is completely different from Central Thai. In the north, which is where we're based, there is Northern Thai. So some of them speak Northern Thai. And then on top of that, if they've then decided to actually learn English, you know, do the Bible in English, then that's another add-on as well. Then in the northeast, you have Northeastern Thai. So it's a real kind of melting pot of different languages.
Yeah, it gets quite interesting when we go to meetings, etc., because their first language is Karen. So sometimes they'll switch between Thai, and we think, oh, we've got you, and then they'll switch to a Karen,
we've lost this.
So, it's interesting in the meetings.
Okay, so some of the other activities and roles that we've done in the past as well as now, we attend leadership meetings, we have meetings with various departments at the Thailand Karen Baptist Convention as well as other partners. We travel to villages doing outreach as well as evangelism, and also I've translated reports from Thai to English, and Paul has also worked on the TKBC website as well.
So as I said, I do part administration as well. So quite a bit of the reports they have to do, particularly for organisations like BMS, etc., is they have to do it in English. And they're not great, they're not strong really in that language, particularly when they get big reports they have to do. So I tend to help them out doing their translation, etc., and helping them understand what they're doing. And because my background is finance, I will help them with the financial bits as well. So.
Okay, so my other role that I have, so as of last year, I think you may have remembered while I was in Bangkok, when we were serving in Bangkok, the cake decorating and baking, it's kind of taken a different angle now, so not so much the cake decorating, but now focusing more on the bakery side of things, because I guess in terms of the North and the Karen, they live a very simple lifestyle and they don't have all the resources, so really it's taking it back to basics. So as of last year, May, within the women's ministry, we had women and the youth that come from various villages and locations, remote locations from the mountains. They come down to the women's ministry centre and I taught them over a period of a week. And really, I need to find a different name for it because it's an alternative to baking, because it's baking in theory without an oven. Because most of the Thais, the Karen, they don't own ovens. Basically, bakery or baked goods is not something you would really have in Thailand. It's mostly like steamed goods, steamed or non-baked things. So it's really teaching them using resources that they have. So I've taught non-baked goods as well as cakes and cheesecakes done in rice cookers. Everybody owns a rice cooker, as well as steamed baked cakes and, you know, bread rolls and things like that. So they have a pot that they place over like a gas stove with a steaming tray, etc. And the purpose of it really is for them to be able to either start their own businesses in the mountains or potentially teach others. And I think it really, again, it's kind of a reminder. It always reminds me that God uses all types of gifts and skills, even bacon. I think I've said this over and over and I'm still saying it and I'm still bowled over by it. He can use absolutely anything. So if you think that it can't be used, think again. If God's given you that gifting and that skill, it can be used because God is the person that actually puts it into action. So don't forget that. Remember that. So at the end of the training, when they have completed the training, this was actually December's session, so I ran two last year, May and December. They receive a certificate of completion. One of the ladies, the lady which I've got my hand on her shoulder, interestingly enough, she kind of caught the vision straight away. And at the end of, like, just I think a day before the end of the session, she basically said, "Ah, I can use this to, you know, teach the children at Christmas outreach." So she'd literally just learnt these new skills and she decided to share them at Christmas outreach with the children. So, yeah, it's great. So the other thing that's happening with the bakery, and I think, again, God's kind of opening doors that, again, I've, you know, kind of blown away by, but we've had organisations that have started to ask me, you know, can you come and teach us how to do baking or cake decorating? And this particular lady and her daughter, she actually serves at a children's home called House of Love. And it's children basically have to be taken away temporarily from their families if there's issues of like vulnerability, etc., going on within the families. But she kind of came up with the idea of actually bakery could be used as a way, you know, to create a very safe space, a very fun way to kind of have that environment where they'll be able to share what creativity tends to do is it creates a very safe environment for people to share very organic conversations. So that's what I've actually started doing. Also, we've had other organisations that have kind of come on board and started to ask questions as well. So we're just hoping, we're really waiting to see how God will actually open the doors on this and where he will take it. So it'll be really exciting to see what happens with this.
former students. So some of the students that have graduated have decided that they would like to give back to SBI. So some of them have come back to help out with the teaching. One of those has come back to do teaching English once a week. He's actually doing gone on to further education at university in theology, and he's come back to teach English. So he's actually using what he's learned. And also another one student, at the moment we should be teaching right now, but because we're here, we've asked one of the former students to come and take our lessons for us. So we left them lesson plans, etc. But this is the first time she's actually teaching. She's a little bit scared, so just pray for her as she's doing that. So it's great to see that they want to give back to the organisation. And also this year, we've got a new head of the English department. Her story is quite interesting. She was a refugee. She was originally from Myanmar, but was a refugee in one of the refugee camps in Thailand. And her and her siblings grew up in a refugee camp and then eventually got the opportunity to come to England. So the family moved to England and they were living here for the last 15 years in Sheffield. But as now, she's actually come back. She came back for a year to just help out with teaching English. She really loved it and God really touched her. And also she was amazed what God was doing in the students' lives, so she's decided to come back. So now I don't think she knew she was going to be teaching, heading up the English department, but God works in mysterious ways. And also she got married last year as well, so we were able to go to her wedding. So just pray for her as well.
Okay, so the other thing that we've been able to do with the bakery, so something that we found very, very important with the students is, obviously we build relationships with them inside the classroom, but what's been really important is to build relationships with them outside of the classroom. And one of the ways that we've done that is actually through doing bakery as well. So I've actually we've invited them over to our home, and they've had like bakery sessions with us. We do actually have an oven at home. And but what's been really lovely is that while the things are baking in the oven, we've actually had like a movie afternoon, and we've just kind of shared time together. We get to know them better, get to bond with them better. They get to know us better as well. So that's really, really been great as we kind of, build those relationships outside of the classroom.
And for the last couple of years, some of the students have come to our home over Christmas. I don't know if you've heard any of the Karen singing, but they have got great voices, really love singing. They have lots of competitions between themselves as well, choirs come together. But they came to ours and they were singing carols outside of our home. And then afterwards they come in and just have fellowship with us. And it's really nice to just do it in a more relaxed situation, just to get to know them, and we just play music, etc., and pray, etc. So that's been good as well. And we have noticed that the transformation in the students as well. When they come, quite a few of them are quite shy, and although some of them learn English in school, they're afraid to use it physically outside because they feel like they're going to get teased, etc. So they're very shy in that regard. So a couple of those students, they wouldn't say boo to a goose, they were so quiet. But over the year, one of those young girls, she so blossomed that she was happy to have conversations with us. Sometimes you couldn't even get her to stop. And then also they put her forwards. If ever they want to say something to us as a group, they'll put her forward. So she's always like... but she was not like that before. She was a very, very quiet type person. And then another guy, he was the most academic of people. He loves fishing and sports and stuff like that. And it was hard to get his attention in class, etc. But something happened, towards the end, something clicked in him, and he really started to get into it, and you saw his attitude change. And now when I see him in class, he's not in our class anymore, he's in the next year up, But whenever I see him, he always comes over and wants to have conversations. Hi, teacher, hi, teacher. Before he was not interested, but it's great. And they actually call him like Brain Box now, so it's great to see that change in those guys. So as we pray for them, etc. as well.
Okay, so in terms of some of the student challenges, at SBI they actually live on site. So for many of the students, this is their first time living away from home. And some of the challenges that they actually face, they obviously face homesickness is probably their biggest one. They have financial struggles. And not only do they, obviously, they're living in community, so not only are they sharing food and other things, but they also share illnesses as well. There's illnesses that pass backwards and forwards between them. And obviously students are students, or teenagers, adolescents around the world are the same wherever you go. And one of the other things is obviously putting pressure upon themselves when they're studying. So that's something that we're very, very mindful of. We did have one particular student this year when we came back from Paul's dad's funeral at the beginning of February. There was one particular student in my class that I'd noticed when she'd come into the lesson, she'd start off quite happy, but as the lessons kind of went on, she kind of like gradually declined and went downhill. And I saw a pattern forming. I'm thinking something's not right. But following discussions, we kind of realised actually she's kind of going through depression. And I think it's what we've realised, we're not just teachers, we're also mentors as well. And it's to take the time out to listen to the students, to just, you know, share with them, be there for them, but also pray with them as well when they're going through stuff. She has actually taken a step back and actually taken some time out, and she's made the decision not to actually come back and study, but she's studying online now. So if you can kind of keep her in your prayers as well, but just know that the students kind of go through those issues as well. The other thing, as obviously time's gone, as we've gone to build those relationships with the students, is we've realised some of the issues that they have in the mountains where they live, in the villages where they live. And one of the key issues that they have is actually alcohol and drug abuse. And unfortunately, it's an issue amongst the young and the young men and like men in general. So some of the children as well. Basically, drugs and alcohol is very, very easy to come by, and it's very, very cheap. And as a result of it, it's become a very, very wide problem. So I think it's just really important for us to take the time out to be aware of what's happening in the students' lives, and also just to take the time to just be mindful and obviously listen to them and pray with them. So just wanted to kind of give you an overview of this young man, Thule. One of the exciting things that we're really happy about, when it gets to the stage of where the students have actually kind of, their English has improved and we have critical theory discussion sessions or critical thinking discussion sessions. Now, in one of my lessons, I think we were talking about the three Hebrew boys, and I posed the question, what miracle has God done in your life, or what miracles has God done in your life? Now, I guess I was expecting maybe short answers from the students, which I did get, mostly one or two line answers. But Thule, who's just literally positioned just in front of the cake, it was his birthday, actually went on to share his whole testimony. And it wasn't just the fact that he shared his whole testimony confidently in English, it was his testimony overall and what God has done in his life. Now, Thule was a young man just 2 years ago who unfortunately had problems with addiction with alcohol and drug abuse. And he ended up in prison, unfortunately. But through God's compassion, his forgiveness, through his parents' compassion and forgiveness, they didn't condemn him. He was literally pulled in, and he realised because of God's grace that he was able to give his life to the Lord. And he's now a Christian. And not too long after he gave his life to the Lord, he realised that God was actually calling him into ministry, so to actually study theology. So he is a testimony, really, of God's grace and what God can do in your life and how he can transform your life. Thule wants to go on to become an evangelist, wants to go back to his village and witness to people that do not yet know Christ, as well as obviously share and encourage them as well.
So we've got a video of another student. He's a third-year student, and when he first came to Bible school, he had no English at all. He couldn't speak any English, and he's going to tell you his story about him coming to Christ. So have a listen, see what you think.
My name is Jonah, and I am 24 years old. I come from Merrimack in Dark. All of my family was is a Christian, so we believe through my family. And before my father and my mother are the Christian, like my grandmother and father, they worship the ghost, and then missionary, in English, we come in my village that proclaim the word of God, the gospel, and my grandma and grandpa, they come back to believe in Jesus. Before I came back to Jesus, I was a person who very disobedient to Jesus, disobedient God. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to obey my mother, father. And when the Sunday, my family, everybody go to church, but I do what I want to do. And I will meet my friend to travel, to drink, to smoke. I don't want to go to church. That I feel that is not important for me. I like in this time I have a youth, and I am happy to meet a friend, to travel with a friend, to use time with a friend like that. What changed? Mm. When one day when we drug and drink with my friend and make me feel I cannot control my body, and it's like a overdose, right? Overdose, and I cannot control my body, and I could not come back to home, and my friend to send to me to home. But when I came back in home, right, I see that my father and my mother don't angry, but they came here and they all still love me, and they don't agree that I do like that. So in that moment, I see Jesus through my father and mother. I think that I will repent, and I will come back to Jesus, and I have to renew the relationship with my father and mother, and we have to do the best that show that I am the Christian. So I see love of Jesus through my father and mother, that be a good example for me.
So, he wants to be a pastor, but also wants to help missionaries that come to Thailand, however he can help, like with translation, etc. So,
Should also add on that, when Jonah came to Siloam, he couldn't speak any English at all. I wasn't sure if you kind of said that. So, that's quite amazing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we just wanted to focus on this particular scripture. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, from both of those stories, I think the thing that stood out to us the most was the grace of their parents. Both Thule and Jonah's parents did not condemn them. They accepted them, even though they had done wrong. Obviously, they both had issues with drugs and alcohol. And I think it's really a complete reminder for us as well how God can actually transform our lives. And the fact that their past and the past that we used to have does not define who we are. And it's also a reminder that God has great plans and purposes for our lives as well. They could have been on a completely different path. I think all of us have our own testimonies where we could have been on a completely different path. But when we kind of remember where God has actually taken us from and where he's taking us to, it is such amazing. amazing. And I think when you remember God's grace, that's the amazing side of things. So these two young men now have their amazing testimonies when they go on outreach to share within their villages and obviously to share and encourage people as well.
So since our last visit, we've had two major events, one being the floods. I'm sure you saw that on the news. It happened once and it was bad, but then once the people started to tidy up and recover from that, the floods came again, and it really did destroy houses and businesses as well. And our students, because what happened is half of the city was affected and then the other half wasn't, so the part where the rivers were was affected. Thankfully, we were on the other side, so we weren't affected, and neither was the Bible school. But the students and us, we helped with the cleanup, so we took a couple of weeks off of teaching to help out with that. I'm sure the students didn't mind having a break from teaching, but it did mean that we had to then catch up later on. And then after that, earlier this year, we had the earthquake.
Yeah, so at the end of March, we had the earthquake. Now, we are surrounded by fault lines in Chiang Mai. So we've been used to kind of having small tremors that have lasted maybe up to 10 seconds, possibly up to 20 seconds, 2 to 4 magnitude. But the one that happened at the end of March was on another level. It was 7.9 magnitude. And yeah, we've never experienced anything like it. And it took us a while initially at first when it started just to kind of get a sense. I think our heads, first of all, we thought we were having just really bad headaches. But when we realised we couldn't walk. But I think the thing to kind of be mindful of is that although Chiang Mai being near Myanmar, which was at the center point, the epicenter, is very close, Chiang Mai actually was relatively unscathed because the actual ground itself is actually quite firm, whereas all the way down in Bangkok, which is much further away, 9 hours away from Chiang Mai, or even further from Myanmar, unfortunately they had a building that was under construction that collapsed. Now, really, to keep in your prayers, because you're probably not hearing about it anymore in the news, obviously, there was about 100 people or over 100 people in Bangkok that unfortunately died. And in Myanmar, there's been about over 5,000 that have died, unfortunately. And the other thing in Myanmar, there's the conflict and airstrikes and things like that going on as well. So it's kind of a double whammy. So really, even though it's not in the news, there's cleanup, there's relief and things still happening in Myanmar. Please do keep that in your prayers, obviously, as there are, you know, lots of organisations still trying to go through to kind of send relief in. The church that we attend is also trying to do the same thing. So please keep that in your prayers.
We'll just keep this brief. How has it been for us? It's been a tough year, as I said, with the earthquakes and the flooding. And also my father passed away in November as well. So it has meant we're still grieving the family. But we've been stopping, starting, and always feel like we're on a catch-up. We've had to, come back to the UK for the funeral, etc. It just felt like we've been like on a wheel of trying to catch up every 5 minutes. So, yeah, it's been a tough year, but...
But in the grand scheme of things, we've enjoyed teaching the Siloam students. I think that's been our key highlight, and getting to know them, and also getting to know the staff at TKBC as well. It's been great in terms of nurturing those relationships that we've had with them has been fantastic. So we've got a video that kind of encapsulates all of everything that we've been talking about. And really this kind of gives you a small insight into some of the outreach work that Siloam, the Bible Institute students, do when they go out to the mountains and do outreach, as well as Thailand Karen Baptist Convention when they do evangelism in the villages as well. And it also gives you an insight as to how the simple life, the way that the Karen actually live, they live, you know, a very, very simple life. So it kind of gives you that insight as well. Some of the cleanup, the relief from the flooding. If you listen very carefully to the song is called The Body of Christ and it's by Christian Affleck. So listen to the words as well.
So how can you pray? You can pray for the TKBC, which is the Thai Karen Baptist Convention's mission hub. They're trying to reach out not just to the Karen, but to the Thais and also the neighbouring countries as well. Also pray for strong relationships with the students and the staff, that they continue. And the health, physical and mental and spiritual, not just for the students, but for us as well. And also pray for the environmental situation. I know it's the same over the whole world as well, but flooding, earthquakes and pollution. At the moment, I think there's flooding again in Chiang Rai, which is not too far from Chiang Mai. So I think that people are getting worried again, so pray for that as well.
Okay, so other ways that you can support us. You're already doing that, and you've been doing that for many, many, many years. Obviously praying for us and encouraging us. You can do that through 24/7. I've noticed that you've got quite a few leaflets at the back, so I'm just going to wave these around really quickly. If you ever want to kind of get any more of them, then you can go onto the BMS website. Our prayer letter is also on the BMS website. I know that one there is on the April one, but we've done an updated prayer letter. So we've got the June prayer letter out now. So you can also read that, and that kind of gives you more insight as to, you know, our experiences through the earthquake as well. And then the other way you can support us and get involved is through sign up for prayer letters, which I've just mentioned, the BMS birthday scheme, leave a gift in your will, as well as run a fundraising event. Mm-hmm. One more. And then serve with BMS if you feel led to do so, something you should be praying about. We didn't think we would be doing it, so it's not impossible. And on that note, we just want to say a real, real big thank you. Even though, yes, you are here in the UK and you are here praying for us and you're encouraging us, know that you're part of the work that we do in Thailand as well. And that the work that we do with the Karen, you're actually helping to kind of sustain and support their culture and their traditions as well that they have, and also supporting them that they will hopefully one day, as Paul mentioned, through the Mission Hub, be able to not just share it within the Karen community, their own communities, but also share it across Thailand and neighbouring countries as well. So thank you again for your support and just, you know, welcoming us into your presence this morning. We felt it this morning. Mm. It's a very, very warm environment and church. So thank you very much. It's really encouraging to see such a full church with such a variety of ages. So be encouraged by that.
God bless you all. Thank you.
I don't know if there was any time for questions or anything. I don't know.
I think
if
might
what
be
Andy.
Out of time.
We've got time for questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions?
Okay.
Can I just ask? Yeah. In terms of looking after you, we'll just get right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was not very clear is who looks after you from a discipleship point of view. You have to look after each other, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, we attend an international church in Thailand, so that's probably our main support. Obviously, BMS support us, and we also have Peter, who you actually have as your partner.
Yes.
So Peter is actually our regional team leader, so we report to him, or we have time with him every other month. So, we are sorted.
Yeah, BMS also makes sure that they have someone to, like a counsellor every... Pastoral carer every couple of months, so...
I was just intrigued why you should choose Thailand. Was there a need that you found or somebody pointed out to you?
Not us.
If it was left down to us, first and foremost, we'd probably be in cupboard somewhere with the doors firmly locked. Secondly, before I met Paul, how can I put it? My calling to go on mission started from about the age of 11 or 12. But if it was left down to us, as I said, we'd be in a cupboard somewhere. But I thought it was actually to go to China. So my job, I used to work in corporate and I used to travel extensively to Hong Kong and China. So I think that was my carrot to kind of start things off because I fell in love with that side of the world. Paul came on the scene, BMS mentioned Thailand. And I remember at the time thinking, Okay, that's not a country I'd been thinking of, but if that's where God wants us, then I think it's about being open and being obedient to where God wants you to be. So, no, we didn't choose Thailand.
Wonderful, thank you.
I remember from your early letters that you spent many long hours, probably years, learning Thai. Are you now having to learn Karen as well to be effective?
That has come on to the...
That's been mentioned, but I don't know if we've got the capacity to learn another language now, which is too old.
Brains have kind of... I mean, to be honest with you, we're still learning Thai. It's a hard language to learn. Obviously, with all the tones and everything, it is a hard language to learn. Karen isn't tonal, but it is very different. Yeah. There's no similarities whatsoever.
Thanks very much. I had a couple of questions. One is, what are your plans going forwards? Because you've obviously been in there now for 13 years. And the second question was, are there opportunities for people to come on short term with BMS, either with yourself or with other BMS missionaries? I think that in the past, that's one thing that a lot of young people have done and perhaps has become less possible for all kinds of reasons.
I don't know the answer to that one. Short term?
Short term, I think in some respects, we did actually have a church that came out, or I say church, a couple of members came out last year, October, November, and they just came out of their own free will and just decided to stay for a short while and actually see the work that we do. So I think sometimes if you feel that you're led to do that, if you feel that God is calling you to do that, just go ahead, just go with it and be obedient to what God is asking you to do. In terms of the young people, I know that obviously BMS no longer does their kind of youth program anymore. But I think you could still have those discussions with BMS because there's always a way around it. I don't think it's something that's been put to bed completely, but I think it's something you can still discuss with BMS if you feel led to. I think it's important. If God calls you to do something, it's important to kind of, you know, be obedient and just go with it.
Plans for the future? We've got no plans to leave. If God says otherwise, then we'll leave.
But it's what God says.
We love it out there. We love out being there.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about the baking? How did that came about?
Again, that's another story in itself. My background has nothing to do with baking. You just see a common thread here. Okay, so as a long short story to a long story, I always used to do baking. My mum always used to do baking every Saturday, and I grew up thinking it was something that every mother did with their their children. So long story short, while I was actually a production manager at a company called EMA Textiles, I was in the fashion industry for about 10 years. I was asked to make a cake for a lady that was going on maternity leave. And I thought, that's really strange. She doesn't even know if I can bake. And I thought, okay, well, I'll do what I can do. I can do it. It's not a problem at all. And did the cake, took it into work. But when I did the cake, it was decorated. I literally did a full... Paul's asking me to do the short version. I did a full... I did a full-blown cake, fully decorated, and I didn't know that I was capable of doing that, but I thought I'd just done my best. Took it into work the afternoon of the baby shower. She opened up the box, and she began to kind of burst into tears, and I was kind of, oh dear, what's happened to the cake? Has it fallen apart? And at that point, everybody kept saying to me, where did you get the cake from? Was it from that shop in London that does these type of cakes? And I didn't think anything of it. Long and short of it is that, fast forward, God then began to open doors with the cake decorating, and I actually started going into women's hostels to actually teach cake decorating while I was still working in corporate or in the corporate world. I was then asked by an organisation that actually works with homeless people to actually come in and start doing cake decorating sessions with them. And every time I kind of stopped, I would be asked again. It was like a further opportunity would open up, another opportunity would open up. And I think it's an important reminder that in terms of mission, serve where you are is an important thing. I think God kind of started to lay the foundations in terms of like mission work in country first, in the UK. and using the skills that he'd obviously given me and opening the doors of opportunity. So that's kind of really how the bakery started off. And then I also did it in Bangkok, and we opened up a bakery in Bangkok as well and started teaching the ladies coming out of the red light district. So, yeah.
So you had a bakery business in the UK
and then,
first?
Yeah, so I left my corporate and then started doing a bakery business, and that's kind of, and then God started opening up the doors of opportunity. So that's kind of the short version.
Teaching it in English, what do they do with the English? What's the trajectory of English rather than just learning in Thai?
I think it opens up other avenues for them to go and go abroad, etc., or help out other missionaries, or go into what they call NGOs, non-governmental organisations as well. Mm-hmm. So it does broaden their horizons. And also, the teachers, the leader used to say that actually those that have done the English version, their ability to think critically has been much improved over those who haven't done it that way. So,
Wow. Thank you so much. I mean, we could probably worship, pray, part two, part three, part four. You're welcome to stay the night. We've got plenty of space here. There's even a shower. We have a shower.
Okay.
I mean, I've got a sofa in there if you want to just chill out. Wow. It's so encouraging, isn't it? It's amazing to hear from your own mouth here present with us. It's incredible. Thank you so much for being obedient to God. And it's really encouraging. I love what you're saying as well. Be obedient to the local. Like, if stuff's going on, and if you feel God is nudging you to do stuff, even if it's something that you're like, what? A cake? Baking? Whatever it may be, then go with it. Because you just don't know what God is up to.
I was just going to add on that. We've ministered to our neighbours through hot cross buns. Because I've actually made hot cross buns and actually had the opportunity to share about the gospel through hot cross buns. So it's very, very
It is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's in the ordinary that sometimes that can have the most amazing impact. Mm-hmm. And it is being obedient. So thank you so much. It would be great just to pray. And then Vince and the team will come and lead us in a couple of songs. Please remember to grab your children, not grab them, collect your children appropriately. Let's pray. Thank you. I was going to say, do you have a question for us?
You've just put us on the spot. Not so much a question, but I said it earlier. It's encouraging to see, you know, the church in terms of, because we visit many, many churches, but I think maybe what you don't know, you have something very special here because you have such a wide variety of ages from young through to old, and that's not really something that is seen very much in the churches these days. So,
oh, you just say that to all the churches,
don't you? No, not at all. This is the first time we've mentioned it. This is the first time we've mentioned it. So really, it's encouraging for us to see, but you also should be encouraged by that.
Yeah.
And don't take advantage of it. Utilise it. Go and spread.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really, thank you. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, for Paul and Sarah. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of the impossible, that you are a God who opens up those doors in the most incredible, surprising ways, and often uses the ordinary, the simple things, bakery, although that's not simple. Baking's not easy, but it's in the ordinary things, daily stuff, the everyday things, that when we are obedient to what you are doing, those missional opportunities, that incarnational living of being salt and light in the world, not of the world. It's amazing what you are doing all the time. And I pray that as we have heard the wonderful example of being obedient to you this morning and your ongoing work and the going with it and seeing what you are up to and just being led by you. Thank you that for Paul and Sarah, it's, I would imagine, not an easy journey and continues to be challenging. But they regularly and continually put their hope and trust in you. And thank you, Jesus, that you get the glory, but you are changing lives. And that's what we want to be a part of, lives transformed and changed because of you, Jesus. So, Lord, help us to be encouraged. May we be a blessing to Paul and Sarah. Continue to reach out, read their newsletters, engage. Not be a distant partner, but to be an engaged and listening partner, encouraging and supporting. But also, may we hear what you are up to through their ministry and hear that and be encouraged to be whatever context we find ourselves in, to be encouraged to step out and trust you, to hear your call, to discern where you are leading all of us. So Lord, thank you for your truth, for your light, for your saving love. Thank you that you are transforming lives out of addictions, out of being hopeless, from misinterpreted whatever religion or whatever has been enmeshed in cultures and societies. Thank you that your name is above all other names, that your truth resounds, that your light is true light. And Lord, may we be encouraged and blessed and re-envisioned to be bold in you for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.